Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details and showtimes are online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Johnny DiLoretto. This is Cinema Classics. We are at the Gateway Film Center, named recently in USA Today, John, as one of the top 10 art house theaters in the country.
Got it. And it's deserved. And the next time we talk about this, it'll be number one because it's that good.
Thank you very much. It is awesome and deserved. Saying deserved, that gets us right into our conversation. Just desserts.
Oh, boy.
Right? Revenge movies.
Boy, right on top of it. We've got Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal, very finely acted. And we'll have Carrie coming up, which is...
kind of a high school horror revenge movie.
Oh, boy, it is, yeah.
But fewer genres are more satisfying.
Oh.
And turn out more bad movies.
Right.
Than the revenge movie. They're so deeply satisfying. I mean, it's such a simple formula, right? Bad guy does wrong, usually to the good guy's loved ones or family or person, and then the good guy exacts revenge.
Yeah.
Preferably in increasingly violent ways.
Sure.
And it's great.
Well, and the more civilized we become as a society, the more resentments there are, and the more, as I think Owen Gleiberman says in Entertainment Week, he talks about the catharsis of our resentments.
Catharsis of our resentments. That's terrific.
Yeah. So, and it's always been, nothing gets us fired up better than that. If you look at one of the originals, which would be Charles Bronson in Death Wish, that was you were with him all the way.
Yes,
you wanted
absolutely.
It to happen, and you're looking at
it's
yourself.
It's such
and saying,
a manipulative movie.
You're saying, you know, why am I like this? I'm a peace-loving guy.
Yeah.
But when I see that happen...
Well, but if your family is raped and murdered in front of you...
Yeah, right.
And, you know, those are the kind of buttons that revenge movies push. And yet, you know, we think how base that is, that we fall under the spell of these movies. But when you turn on the news every day, and you hear every day the horrors that are committed, you know, out of hand, just on a day-to-day basis, how can you not want to kind of indulge the catharsis?
Well, I think what you're making me think about one of the classics, which was back in 1971.
Yep.
And that would be Straw Dogs.
Oh, yeah,
the one
right.
That hits really home. I mean, that's, you know, that's what his wife being raped by these intruders.
Yep.
And he's just a bookish kind of guy, and he has to call on something in himself.
Then they start invading the home, and he exacts revenge. It's a really visceral kind of film.
And I as opposed to a different kind of revenge that we had just last year in Zero Dark Thirty, where we're going after Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Now, unless you had somebody in 9/11. It's more removed than, say, Straw Dogs.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's at the heart of that movie, but you never sense that the Jessica Chastain character is motivated by revenge.
Right.
She's just motivated by duty.
Right, right.
But you know, one of the great revenge movies is Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yes.
Which starts off with, you know, he's farming, and the Red Legs come in and murder his wife and his son, and that sets Josie Wales out on this transformative journey where he transforms from farmer to outlaw, brutal, deadly outlaw. And you know, that's a beautiful movie because there, you know, revenge drives him, and yet along the way he picks up these characters that become a new family.
Oh yeah.
And so then he becomes protector.
And we're talking about Unforgiven, another Eastwood. The Eastwood seems to be pretty good on this revenge business. And you were explaining to me, and I'd forgotten how that revenge creeps into that
movie.
It
seems like a revenge movie, right? But it's not. he and Morgan Freeman set about to collect reward money for the crime committed against the prostitutes in Big Whiskey. And what happens is, near the very end of the film, when they after they've attacked the criminals, you have to cut out all these pauses.
Yeah.
After they have attacked the criminals, Gene Hackman captures Morgan Freeman and kills Morgan Freeman, and that unleashes the deadly William Money, the deadly Clint Eastwood character that we've been hearing so much about the whole time.
No better image than him in his pine box.
Oh, yeah. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, right. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, there's no better image in all of American cinema than Clint Eastwood on that horseback with the flag writhing behind him in the rain, and he's yelling out to the townspeople how he's going to come back and kill all of them. I love that.
And you have some very stylish revenge movies like Kill Bill. Quentin
well, hold
Tarantino.
On. Before we jump there, just so you don't have to jump back.
All right.
You're right about Eastwood and revenge and how this works. You know, one of his best films of the latter part of his career is Gran Torino.
Gosh, yeah. You know, I thought you were going to say Dirty Harry.
No, well, Dirty Harry is a cop movie, essentially, but, you know, it's a vigilante movie.
Right.
But, yeah, Gran Torino, he wants to get revenge on the gang members who have abused his friend.
Yeah. And well, the stylized ones I was thinking about, Kill Bill, Memento.
Sure.
You know, these are arty variations on the more basic death.
Elevating the genre beyond its base foundations.
Yeah. Another one that was remade, True Grit.
Mm-hmm.
We have some revenge in that.
You do. The little girl is seeking revenge.
Yes, it is.
And Rooster Cogburn is the instrument of her revenge. That's an interesting... See, isn't it kind of fascinating? Like when you start to ornament the baser kind of, you know, plot hook of a revenge movie, when you start to play with it, you get these really great variations. We were talking earlier about Cape Fear.
Yeah, oh, I was just going to say.
Now, Cape Fear is a movie wherein... The guy getting revenge is the bad guy.
Yes.
He's getting revenge on the attorney in both versions.
Yes.
The original Gregory Peck version and the Nick Nolte De Niro version. So Max Cady is disgruntled at how his case was handled by this lawyer, and so he's getting revenge on the lawyer. Now, he starts working and preying on him and his family to the point that the lawyer... reaches deep down in him and becomes this atavistic kind of animal.
And nobody better than Mitchum, I think. I think he's even better than De Niro.
Well, he's certainly, there are two vastly different portrayals. Yes. Mitchum is doing a slow burn.
Yeah.
And De Niro is going over the top with a sort of zealot. Hold on, 3-2. He's going over the top and doing a sort of zealous version of that Max Cady character. But I'll tell you what, one of the great lines, I love this line in Cape Fear, the original, the 1962 version, when Gregory Peck is on the phone with Robert Mitchum and Peck tells him, like, listen, I'm protected by the law, you know. And Mitchum says, counselor, I'm going to take the law and I'm going to break your heart with it.
Excellent.
So great.
I wonder how much, too, of recent years, the rule of Rudy Giuliani and George Bush both seem to have a little bit of that appeal to us and their willingness to go the extra mile to go after the bad guys. To me, they kind of fulfill, as we're looking at, what are the things that really excite us about
this? I don't
know,
wasn't it Koch that cleaned up New York City?
Oh, probably.
I mean, if you think about 1970s New York.
Good.
1970s New York, the urban experience there is what really begat all these revenge films, right? Because people were so disgusted. There was this beautiful city that had turned into this crime-ridden cesspool. And so movies like Death Wish... and Death Wish 2,
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of movies in the 70s, The Exterminator, I think, and Walking Tall. There was this whole cultural-wide reaction and revulsion with the crime-ridden culture. And so in the 80s, you get Mayor Ed Koch and then Giuliani and so forth, and they begin to clean that city up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why usually, you know, we're civilized now. We don't have as many of these films. It's because we don't. But you know what? I think we should. Because I'm just kind of disgusted by how much crime I hear about. And not just regular crime, but really repulsive, heinous acts.
And it's probable that revenge movies will always be around because of that deep-seated desire to put away the bad guys and have a happy civilization, which will never happen. And I'd just like to give you one quote from, I think, a 17th century philosopher, Hobbes.
Okay.
This is not the movie.
Nor is this Hobbes.
I remember.
Oh, Mr. Hobbes Takes a Vacation?
No. This is the... Oh, Nobbs. I'm thinking...
No. Who are you talking about?
Alfred Nobbs.
Oh, Alfred Nobbs. Well, I thought you were talking about Jimmy Stewart's Mr. Hobbes Takes a Vacation.
That's a good one. Anyway, here's what Hobbes said.
Mm-hmm.
No friend ever served me, and no enemy ever wronged me, whom I have not repaid in full.
Beautifully said.